This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. There's a multitude of information, a lot of information on the website that you might be interested in. And you can contact me if you would like to leave me prayer requests, or if you'd like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish my weekly meditations in from time to time. If you'd like those addresses, get a pencil or a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to begin at Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 11, and we're going to read about the Lord raising a widow's son from the dead. It's interesting that we've come to the 1st of June, and while I know that it's supposed to have been springtime now for April and May, yet it seems to me that we really have some of the most beautiful weather in June. And as we look at June, maybe it's the end of spring, but nevertheless, we think about the springtime. And there are many cultures that look at springtime as a picture of reincarnation. They believe that everything goes through cycles, including the human who dies and is reincarnated, that is, comes to life again in another form. We believe, those of us who read our Bibles, that that is completely contrary to Scripture. We believe that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so we are in this life once, and we prepare for our eternal destiny when we pass through life. We do die, but the death is not the end. We believe in resurrection. The Bible is clear that for the Christian, the resurrection is a beautiful thing. It will raise us to be with the Lord and like Him throughout the endless ages of eternity. The resurrection is broken down into the resurrection of life and into the resurrection of damnation. The resurrection of life has to do with the resurrection of those who have died trusting in Christ. And it itself may occur on a couple of different occasions. We believe that the first part of the resurrection of life would likely occur when the Lord returns for His church and calls us home to be with Himself and saves us from the coming judgment that is going to come on this earth, the coming judgment of the tribulation period. But obviously there are people who do go into the millennium, and people who are believers that died during the tribulation, and we aren't going to go into detail about what happens to them, but if they're saved when they die, if they die, some will, perhaps will not die during the millennium. That seems to be a question mark in my mind. But nevertheless, those who do die in Christ, they're raised from the dead as well, and it's the resurrection of life. Now, we know that Christ is the first fruits of that resurrection, and as we go into June, even if you would look at it as the end of springtime, I'm going to look at it as a reminder that reincarnation is not biblical, but resurrection is, and it's the resurrection of Christ that gave the early church hope. It's the resurrection of Christ that convinced them that Christ was who He claimed to be. The empty tomb is really the cornerstone truth of the Christian faith and what sets it apart from the philosophies and religions of men who have dead men leading them. Our Lord has promised us that, He says in John 14, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But just as there's a resurrection of life, John tells us, and we'll read about it as we go through the Gospel of John, John tells us there's a resurrection of damnation. And that would be in, I believe you'll find it in John chapter 5, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. As we look at the resurrection of damnation, that's not something we want to look forward to, because when we are raised as unbelievers, again, we're reminded that death is not the end, but we'll stand before God at the great white throne and have to confess that we never trusted in Him. And people who wanted to be judged according to their works will find out that their works came short. just as Romans 3:23 tells us today, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The resurrection of damnation will be a resurrection will be a dismal resurrection. It will not be a resurrection of hope. It will be a resurrection where people who have rejected Christ have to face him and have to confess that they could have been saved, but that they turned their back upon the only means and way of salvation that is available to mankind. As we look at this passage, then, we are reminded of resurrection, but I want to remind you that in the passage we're reading, the young man that's raised from the dead died again. When the Lord was raised from the dead, he did not die again, and that's why he is called the first fruits of the resurrection. This was a case where a man was raised from the dead, but in the technical sense, it wasn't a resurrection, because a resurrection in the Bible is being raised never to die again. So in Luke chapter 7, verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier." This may have been an open coffin or a stretcher or a carriage that the body was being carried in. "When he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about, and the disciples of John showed him all these things." The disciples of John the Baptist, that is, showed him all these things. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, there are a number of instances in the Bible where people were raised from the dead. There's at least two in the Old Testament, and I do not want to spend my time on those today, but in the New Testament, we would read, this is Luke 7, but we'd read in Luke 8 about Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, having his daughter raised from the dead. And there are those who would look at that passage, and while they would not discount the fact that the events happened, they would like to believe that Jairus' daughter had only gone unconscious, perhaps into a coma, and that the Lord woke her up out of that coma. But it's interesting, as you read the story, that the people thought she was dead. The Bible says she was dead. I think she was dead, and the Lord was able to raise her from the dead. Then in John chapter 11, we have that beautiful story about the raising of Lazarus. And Lazarus was one of the Lord's friends. And the beauty about that story is that it shows that oftentimes the Lord works in ways we don't understand. The friends of Lazarus, as well as Mary and Martha, his sisters, all thought that the Lord could have kept him from dying, but not one of them thought that the Lord could provide a solution after he died. And so they said, if you had been here, our brother had not died. If you had been here, could not he have kept this man from dying? That was their thinking. The Lord had power beyond that, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And yes, Lazarus was truly dead. When they raised him from the dead, the sisters were concerned because he wanted them to roll away the stone, and he had been dead 4 days already. They thought the body would have decomposed and that he would have stank because of the decomposition. So they raised him from, so the Lord raised him from the dead. And from the standpoint of the Jews, that should have convinced them of the power of the Son of God, but it didn't. In John chapter 12, all it did was cause them to want to destroy or kill the Lord Jesus, because of this miracle, many of the people were believing on him, and they couldn't get beyond their own envy and their own positions and their own concern about what this was going to do to them. They couldn't get beyond that to see the value of the Son of God and that he was their Messiah. He was the coming king that would have delivered and will deliver Israel one day. He would have delivered Israel at that time if they would have accepted him, but of course that was not going to be the case. Then we come to the raising of the Lord himself, and of course, now as I've said, this was the true resurrection where he was raised never to die again, and this is the cornerstone truth that is preached in the New Testament as witnesses to the resurrection, including the apostles, prove that the Lord is the very Son of God. And then we find out that there's two resurrections or two people being raised from the dead in Acts. In Acts 9, Dorcas was raised from the dead by Peter, and in Acts 20, Paul was able to raise from the dead a young man who fell asleep while he was preaching and fell from a window. Now, as we look at these passages, there's a question that always arises in my mind. Why did raising the dead prove Christ was the Son of God? Well, it didn't prove that for the apostles, who also raised people from the dead. And I believe the reason for that is that Christ was verifying his claim to be the Son of God. He said he was the Son of God. He used the title I Am, which is basically the Old Testament title or translation of what Jehovah means. The apostles never claimed to be the Son of God. They claimed that they were preaching the truth about the Son of God. So with the Lord, he was claiming that he was the I Am, the ever-existing one, and being able to raise those people from the dead was proof that he had the power of the Creator. He delegated that power to the apostles so that people would believe that they had the Word of God, and their power was to verify the message that they were preaching, and they never preached that they were the Son of God. They always preached that Christ was the Son of God. Now, as we look at the Jews, they required a sign to believe that the person who was speaking to them was, in fact, speaking the authoritative word of God. We, as Gentiles, we look at logic and wisdom. But the Jews required a sign, and the Jews had a sign, but they didn't believe in the sign that they had because Christ was raised from the dead. And he was seen by over 500 at one time in addition to the apostles. It was verified that the tomb was empty, but they would not accept that. But friend, today that is the thing that we preach, that our Savior not only died for our sins, but he was buried and he was raised again the third day. And friend, that's the reason why you should trust in him. You're going to stand before God one day. Death is not the end. And it's either going to be at the resurrection of life or at the resurrection of damnation. Make sure it's at the resurrection of life. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program. We trust that those who have listened have been helped. We commit thy word to thee in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.